He may be the most powerful mutant we've ever encountered.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
We're here to shape your future.
Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amélie,
Isabelle,
Natalie,
Elise,
José,
Shotgun.
Leader to Lightmaster.
Oh no!
Aye, aye, aye.
The leader! Just a normal guy moving radioactive waste in a government subcellar when a container exploded and zapped him with good old gamma radiation. Unlike the Hulk, who got super strength, this high school dropout got an enhanced mind that could read 4,000 words a minute and remember everything. He decided to use his new abilities to amass power and conquer the world secretly or overtly. Seems like the Hulk is always foiling his plans, though. He's a genius able to create all manner of futuristic technology, but his big brain comes with an even bigger ego, which makes him condescending to lesser minds. He really hates how stupid everyone is and blames them for screwing up his amazing large-scale plans. Truth is, he's impatient, rash, and overconfident. Pictured looking into some laboratory instrument.
What a douche.
Yeah, he sounds like a dick.
Is there he looks like a dick.
Indeed. He looks like, you know when a picture freezes up on a computer and just sort of stretches it out?
It's like when you do a panoramic.
I kind of hate that they went, oh, he got a super mind. We must enlarge his head.
Yeah, but it's not enlarging. It's making it long.
No, but everyone who has a super brain has to have an enormous head.
It's to fit all those brain cells.
I don't think that's
extra.
Brain
cells. No, it's not more brain power. It's more brain.
I like to imagine it's the same size brain.
Just kind of floating.
It's more fluid.
It's just a lot of liquid or air.
I mean, that's so much storage place. You don't need suitcases.
Like, his head is basically the size of his upper body entirely. Like, up to his hips.
It must throw off your balance a lot. Like, walking must be hard and running. Like,
oh my god, he's just like an infant.
Oh yeah, head
imagine,
first.
Like, how do you have to put on a bathing cap? That would be so hard.
You're never in the pool.
He can't reach the top of his head. Oh no!
I had an image in my head.
I mean,
it was
waving away the tears of laughter. I wasn't sure it was that or a fart.
It's gonna take a minute for Amélie to tell us.
Okay, so sometimes you, like, lay your head on your significant other's lap, the head reaches on both sides.
And on the cat on the other side. You need, like, a pillow beyond their legs because the heads keep going.
We lost already.
I told you guys it was in a weird mood.
Do you think he sleeps with the pillow vertically?
Oh, I hope
so. Because otherwise it doesn't fit.
Or multiples. Oh.
What would be his ideal hat?
You know what? I feel for him because I have a big head and it's really hard for me to find hats that fit.
I guarantee yours does not look this silly.
I cannot imagine how hard it must be to find a hat.
Like a top hat, but most of it is inside.
No, one of those British soldier.
Oh yeah, the beefeater's hat.
Yeah,
because his forehead's gonna get cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he's in winter, he's really screwed.
I want a really long toque.
That looks like a condom.
Can we dress him as a hot dog for Halloween?
I was thinking like a floral hat, like that you were all like, we need to cover it. I'm like, let's make it pretty with a pretty hat.
I hate that his forehead is so big. Why does his hairline have to start so high?
Yeah. And he's got like a sort of half widow's peak
hat. Yeah. Yeah.
Jose, how many flower crowns can you stack?
It's like
She's counting. It's like a carnival attraction.
Five to six Florograms.
Nice. He's ready for Coachella.
$40 a pop, guys. Not sure.
I don't know if it's because his outfit's kind of bellhoppy, but I just want a tiny hat. Just like the tiny bellhop hat.
Oh. I want that now.
His outfit does look familiar. Do other people wear this? Or does it just look...
pretty generic.
Is it just generic?
It's like science fiction suspenders.
Mm. Yeah.
Apparently, he fell into a volcano.
At some point.
Yeah, well, the Hulk saw him. And Iron Man saw him. And then they said, it thus remains to be seen whether or not the leader is truly dead.
He's not.
No, clearly it would be in the Book of the Dead. Exactly. Spoilers!
Exactly.
So he can live through volcanoes? I mean, that's something.
I mean, he probably used technology to do it.
Science of fake the comics. If I look away from his head, which is, believe me, hard to do, he has very nice calves.
He does.
Yeah. Mm. He's got a good body, actually. It's not like feet.
I find the bulge is lacking. Mm. Well, it feels thin. It's like a thin bulge.
Thin!
You see me? I'm seeing like...
Someone's like compensating with a forehead.
it looks like a Ken doll where it's just like nothing.
It's probably pretty small because he's 5'10 with the head.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
So his original size is probably
because he's a child.
No.
His chin would go to like my boobs.
My eyes are up there.
And he's like, my head is up here.
I kind of wish he had eyes like on the top.
Oh my god,
no, that would be terrifying.
I wouldn't be able to have a conversation with him because I wouldn't know where to look. Like, my eyes would be drawn to the receding hairline.
Well, I think that's why he's got a mustache, to draw the attention.
They usually say you're supposed to look at someone above the eyes, like when they're filming, because otherwise it doesn't work with the lighting, so often they look at foreheads. But that's, I mean,
there's so much room. There's so much leeway.
It must be so strange, because I'm so used to people looking at my chest. And not, like, above. You know, like, you notice people looking below your face, but not above your... Well, I mean, well, not the top part of your face, right?
But you're short.
Yeah, you're supposed to be
used to that.
Nobody looks above my face because I'm a tall person.
No, but people are always looking down at me.
That's because everyone's taller than you, honey.
No, but imagine people looking higher while they're talking to you.
Yeah. I mean, tall people don't have to imagine.
I've talked to you, Emily. That's...
No, but I mean,
when you talk to me.
Yes, no, but I mean, but looking higher than your eyes.
Yes,
I mean
that you can tell. I'm convinced. Like, you can totally tell. I can tell you're not looking at me. It's weird. You could totally tell if you were actually looking up there.
Yeah.
That doesn't look right.
Yeah, exactly.
So he would know, and I'm sure he'd be really offended by it.
Yeah, I'd be like, stupid common people.
When he starts to age, does he have like a million different...
Interesting, you should ask. When we do the revisit of issues 7 and 8, I'll be showing you what the leader, when he came back from this volcano. Supposed death, he mutated more, and the head actually changed shape.
Oh no, is it a triangle?
Is it more of a dick?
No, it's this is the staff, you know?
I,
and now it looks like balls.
Yeah!
I think shotgun's not really wrong.
Loaf. You know, bread loaf.
Yeah, it's kind of loafy.
It became more brainy looking.
More brainy looking.
More brainy
looking. Why is it called
brainy looking?
Okay, so his personality, I feel like he's very smart. Fine. He remembers everything. Fine. But he's super unoriginal. The leader? Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a couple of these guys who are like ahead of themselves. Like, you've got
a couple. A couple?
They want to conquer the world, so they name themselves like they're already in charge. The leader will also meet the master of the world later.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's like...
So
it hasn't happened yet.
Name yourself for the job you want.
Yeah. Is the leader hot or not?
He sounds like an asshole.
Yeah, I don't like him at all.
Yeah, I don't like being condescended to.
No.
Honestly, I feel it's... I work with a lot of these people.
A lot of leaders?
No, a lot of assholes that are... No, but it's like, I know, how can I explain this? I don't have the most important job, but a lot of people come to me and they're like, oh, well, you're just in customer service. And it's like, fuck you. If I don't take calls, you don't have a job, you asshole. But they talk down to you as in like, okay, little girl, can you do this? And it's like, do you want me to shove this broom up your butt? So I feel like I work with a lot of these people and God, I wish they didn't exist.
If you actually said these things...
to people?
I know you don't.
No.
But if you did, I'd watch that sitcom.
Thank you. That's what you should do on your last day.
That's the pilot episode.
Yeah. No, part of me wants to like go in spreadsheets and delete a bunch of things on my last day.
Oh my god.
Just fuck this shit.
No. That's not visually dramatic, but I won't. You know, like,
not.
Yeah. Not.
Not. Also, I can't stop saying like, follow the leader, 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 follow the leader. Follow the leader. Just long boys today.
Legion. Legion. Well, there's a TV show about this character.
What?
Starring Dan Stevens. It's called Legion. I've never seen it. It's not on a channel we get. So we'll just stick to the comics version, but there's like two or three seasons of this Dan Stevens show that is apparently really good. About Legion. David Charles Haler is the illegitimate son of Charles Xavier, Professor X, and a woman who later became...
And a woman. And a person of the opposite sex.
Who later became Israeli ambassador to Great Britain.
Oh my god.
When he was 10... and living in Paris, terrorists raided his home and killed his godfather before his eyes, which prematurely activated his mutant powers, incinerating the terrorists' brains, while also experiencing all their memories and feelings as they died. Catatonic, and then suffering from split personality syndrome, the boy was sent to an institution. No one realized the mind of the terrorist leader was actually in his head as well. By his teens... David presented more autistic than catatonic, but could randomly absorb other minds into his mental legion, including several of the New Mutants, Professor X, and others, some of them waging war against the terrorist mind, and eventually being released to their own bodies. At the end of that story. Different personalities essentially control different mental powers. The terrorist has the telepathy. Jack, the adventurer personality, has the telekinesis. Cindy, the rebellious teenage girl, has pyrokinesis. There may be others. David himself, the core personality, is still a gentle 10-year-old boy. He's pictured making something explode, screaming in madness in front of an image of Professor X projecting his astral self into him, people getting thrown about, and two headshots. The one with the bandana is Cindy, and the one telekinetically attacking a New Mutant is Jack, because he's got the mustache. So the one in the middle must be David in his own mind. A lot of these stories just occur in Legion's head. That's the thing. So it's hard to say what the actual extent of his powers are in the real world. A lot of the stories, the Legion stories, are actually inside the mindscape. So that's why we can see the different personalities as like different people.
This is very sad. I feel for him. He looks tortured.
10 years old?
It happened when he was 10. Now he's no longer 10, but his core personality is still.
He's very long for a 5'9".
He must be very thin.
5'9" is not tall enough for that man.
I mean, look at his arms.
Does he have like eczema?
Yeah, it kind of looks that way.
I think it's a coloring process problem.
Yeah, probably. I kind of like that he had eczema. I was like, I relate to this person.
I feel like that's interesting representation if it's intentional.
Physically, he looks like a lanky, uncomfortable teen. So I think that makes sense. I feel for him because it is sometimes hard to date when you have mental illness in your life. I don't think I would date them. Though, sorry. I don't want to add to your complicated mix, honey. I got shit to deal with.
But not just that, like, if he's still at a core of a 10-year-old, like, that's another
weird part.
That's you could date Jack or Cindy.
I know.
I think eventually they got rid of the terrorist, was destroyed.
But, like,
or expelled.
The whole, I don't know, the whole, like, parts of your mind fighting against each other, that kind of hit home today.
Considering we're a hive mind of 7.
Yes, exactly.
There's a disorder that's essentially this, isn't there? Like a dissociative
Personality identity disorder.
Yeah. It's actually a thing that exists, except obviously
it's in comic books, it's
Not like other people that you're absorbing in that sense. They're not like real people that you're getting into your brain, but it's like people that you
create
for various.
I think that Jack and Cindy are creations of the mind, the broken mind. So and then the terrorist was an outsider, like a copy of the guy he killed.
Yeah.
And then other people could get in there to have stories.
Wow. It's actually like more accurate than I was expecting. Because I've seen like
I'm sure the TV show has much more, it's probably more research in that sense as well. Probably.
Yeah. It's just, just having like the like child that's in there that's probably protected by other
This is before Split, the movie, which has kind of that same idea.
I don't know how I feel about a disorder becoming a personality. You know what I mean? Like, it's his identity. The disorder is his identity. It's all he is. I have an issue with that. It feels performative, and it feels unfair to those who actually suffer from this kind of...
It's more exploitative than representation.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask someone who does have this disorder to, like... see how they feel about it.
I'm sure there's a YouTube clip of someone. If it's a TV show, I've seen a lot of people with dissociative identity disorder talk about it online. So I'm sure it's findable.
I'd be interested to...
Because since most of the story happens in his mind, you completely forget the fact that he's a human being evolving in the real world as well. So not seeing that perspective as well, that's where it's performative and not...
But he's in the institution. Like, he never... And does Professor Xavier obviously knows he exists?
No. Like, he didn't know at the time that he'd had a kid with this woman. But at the time of the stories, he found out I had a kid out there.
Wouldn't his mind link be stronger with him than other mutants? No? Okay.
But he's not a mutant yet. Right?
Yes, he is. You're always a mutant. It's just your powers get...
But he can only detect
them
when they get stronger, right?
He's a mutant out there and is a powerful mutant and a dangerous mutant if, like, the wrong personality takes over. Legion has been used as sort of a threat, in a way. But Professor X can detect mutants, but if he doesn't know... Like, if this kid doesn't know who his dad is, then Professor X didn't know.
Okay.
There was no way for him to find out. I bet in the TV show there's no Professor X.
Boo.
It's probable.
It's the only reason to watch.
Because it's like the Venom movie. The Venom movie doesn't have Spider-Man in it. It doesn't have the Secret Wars. It doesn't, you know, all the origin stuff has just been changed to make it standalone.
It says here that in some way he retained Wayne and Cindy, but they can speak to people in the real world through David. But however, David himself is no longer autistic and his normal core personality is in control of his mind and body. David was happily reunited with his father and now lives peacefully at Muir Island.
Muir Island.
So he's not in the institution.
I notice here he's also got dichromatic eyes. The left eye is green and the right eye is blue, it says. Yeah. Make it that way you will. It's a play on having multiple...
Yeah, I guess.
Is Legion hot or not? Then Steven's hot, but Legion as a comic book character.
Definitely interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's kind of awkward. Because, like, it's ultimately a little bit sad, and also he's, like, a 10-year-old in his brain.
Is the concept hot or not?
I guess technically you could date, like, individual personalities.
Yeah, and some people do. Like, I know that's a thing where some personalities date, but that just seems a little complicated. I don't know. I'm sure it works for a lot of people, but, man... But I'm impressed that they did this.
In the
80s. Like, that's surprising to me. Even if it's not, like, necessarily perfectly well executed, I wouldn't have expected it to be in the 80s
I would have expected it to be much worse.
I'm actually pretty impressed by that.
So it's difficult if I would see, like, a typical story. Like, how it's written, how we see him evolve and fight and whatever. Then maybe I would have a better opinion. But in this case, I can't really... say hot or not, because I'm too afraid that if I say that, oh, this is really nice and exposure and, you know, the representativity, but it's not well done, then
it's like the film Me, Myself, and Irene did nothing for mental
No.
Absolutely. I mean, to be fair, it did nothing on a lot of fronts.
I have to admit, I wasn't reading New Mutants that early. I was reading X-Men, not this. But it's the same writer as X-Men. And X-Men in that time was very, very much into diversity. You know, it's like it had...
That's true.
Yeah.
It had a lot of people from different countries. It had, like, Storm, who was a black character, was leader of the X-Men. Yeah. And the New Mutants was similar. And having a lot of different nationalities, ethnicities. And there was... Because they didn't really want to do much LGBTQ stuff, like, overtly. But if you read between the lines, all the women X-Men all have...
All of them?
Well, maybe not all.
That's almost as problematic not all of them. As I mean, not having them.
There is a...
They're on the spectrum.
Strong presence.
Yes, there is something there going on. The writer was writing them as gay or bi, not necessarily saying it, but if you read the dialogue, you say, I would never have gotten this at 13, but today.
So maybe this is an attempt to represent mental health in some way. I'm digging the character. Did you see Cindy?
Cindy, yeah.
I do like
that's a cool design. I like her.
Me, it's the blue outfit. I want to wear that and lounge around.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure it's an institute.
It looks like sweatpants.
Well, I think that's it. Yeah. Kind of like scrubs.
Yeah. Because it probably has no strings on it and nothing that you can hurt yourself everything. With.
Yeah, but monochromatic sweats are so very in right now. Yeah.
I just want to point out, because this whole conversation was pretty serious, but his hair is really
remarkable.
Very
so
high.
So you wondered what the leader would look like with hair, like, down lower?
Yeah, like, we're just doing a lot of upper head situations today.
A lot of verticals.
Yeah, a lot of verticals.
Also, I suggest that they design more characters with eczema.
I agree with that.
See, that's
more
skin
conditions, please.
So that's what bothers me. If he had eczema and was a superhero, fine. If he has DID and is a superhero, okay. But that's all he has.
Yeah.
You know, why does he have to be that?
Having anxiety is not a personality just
standalone.
I beg to differ.
Just like liking coffee isn't a personality.
I beg to differ.
Stop attacking Mike.
Can we take a break?
Please.
Of course. Let's take a break. Stop.
We can skip that part, unless you think it's relevant to...
No, we don't have to.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Oh, okay.
It's a map.
Oh, hot.
I can't resist.
I do like maps.
That's true.
Lemuria. If Atlantis is under the Atlantic Ocean, then Lemuria is under the Pacific. It sank 20,000 years ago and was ruled by the Deviants. And it was the first worldwide empire. The Deviants conquering and enslaving people all over the place. Atlantis was basically the last human stronghold, and the two powers destroyed each other. Some Deviants escaped to underground cities, most notably their new capital, the City of Toads. The northern part of the sunken continent was later colonized by members by Homo Mermanus, that is to say Atlanteans, but these were more green-skinned than blue. We've seen a lot of blue Atlanteans on the show, but these were green. Basically, this explains the two completely different takes on Lemuria and the Marvel Universe. The map shows a lot of other Pacific locations, like Krakoa, the Living Island, which was a creature that the X-Men fought, Geneticus Bloodhawk's Island from an Avengers story, I have no idea what that is, Hydra Base Island.
It's Herda.
Hydra.
No, the R is before the D.
Hydra.
Herda.
So, there is a typo because Hydra doesn't want you to find the base.
No, there
you
go.
But it sunk anyways.
So, or are they lying about that too?
I don't trust it.
They're like, it's sunk.
It's totally underwater.
And where Kree Sentry 458 was found, which looks really close to Easter Island, which you also put like it's a, I don't know, maybe there's a Marvel Comics story that takes place on Easter Island.
Yeah,
that's why
with bunnies.
That's where they put it. And the other note is like Naga's City, which is the capital of the sunken, water-breathing Lemuria.
I mean, Easter Island does have those really tall heads.
So that's right!
Yeah.
There's a theme today, guys.
Awesome.
I really enjoy Japan's Monster Island.
Oh yeah, Monster Island. I I failed to note that. Yeah, Monster Island is a Godzilla thing.
I was going
to
say, is it Godzilla?
Yeah.
And Mothra and just all the, yeah. the other ones? Oh, that's so nice.
Because Godzilla was a Marvel comic for a
it
while.
It was?
Yes.
Wow.
So, Lemuria, the sunken place. Are they living in the sunken place, the Deviants?
The Deviants are in underground cities because they can't breathe water.
Oh, okay.
So Krull
but they are
and all
under...
of these guys, they're under the sea floor.
Under the sea, ba-da-ba-ba.
Floor.
Under the sea floor.
And then you've got the green-skinned
Atlanteans.
They're Lemurians.
Like, they're cousins.
They're okay. living in Not cities, good. Like, on the sea floor, and they're breathing water.
So Atlantean, like, the underwater people... All of them. They were always underwater people, right?
They evolved from 20,000 years ago. They were air breathers.
Okay.
And then their city sunk and they probably like cast a spell or something.
Okay.
And then, you know, they changed something and now so that they could adapt.
Oh, okay. Because I thought they were just waiting for a city to sink. And like, then mm-hmm. when it sunk, it's like, oh, that's convenient. I'm going to move into this barbershop.
I want to see them build stuff and then just throw it in the water. Like, yeah, finally finished this skyscraper. There you go.
But so maybe that's what Hydra is doing. Maybe it's like the mermaid division of Hydra.
Oh.
I wouldn't trust them.
Nope. I wouldn't trust mermaids either, to be fair.
You should never.
They draw sailors to their
deaths. Yeah. Well, anything of the sea is treacherous.
Yes, yes, I agree.
I'm shocked.
Hermit crabs?
But you've heard of Lemuria in real life, so-called real life. It is the part of a lot of conspiracy theories. The reptilians who can actually control the continent of Mu. It's all Lemuria.
Mu.
Okay, so they were breathing air. And then they were breathing water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Spells.
Okay. But imagine
and they became reptiles.
No, but imagine if we did that eventually. That like, because we came from water and evolved.
We're ruining water, so I don't think that's a plan for us.
Yeah, you want to breathe in microplastics?
No, because
it really looks like they're like straight under that
patch.
That
yeah.
patch of plastic. That spiral.
Maybe that's why they bring all the plastic together to create that plastic continent so we don't know what's beneath.
Hail Hydra.
Hydra's plastic island. It hasn't sunk. It's moving around.
On a, like, just real world level, I'm always interested to see a map where North America isn't, like, necessarily central.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
And it's rare that it's the Pacific that's central.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it's either Europe or North America. But rarely the Pacific. And that's why a lot of people think that Pearl Harbor is a hoax, because Hawaii is so far from Japan. They have to fly all over Europe.
Oh, then you go a long way around. Well, the flat earth thing. Oh, it's a flat earth
thing. No.
I mean, I'm not surprised.
No.
So, Lemuria, hot tourist spot? Or not?
Can you, like, what put a scuba suit and get
not
there?
But what is there to visit? What attraction do they have?
Well, Deviant Cities.
Yeah.
They have, like, an annual pumpkin fair.
I'm okay. I'm in the fall mood.
Actually, you know what? We have a relative who...
What? Who lives underwater and cultivates
pumpkins. What is the story?
It's related to both those things. He grew huge pumpkins.
Oh, I know where this is going.
And he participated in a boat competition where you had to ride your pumpkin to a destination.
It's funny to watch.
Yes, it's related to this story.
Is that a thing elsewhere in the world, I wonder? Or, like, is it just a...
I've seen
backwards
that.
Places.
Wherever they emptied the pumpkins.
Yes.
They got in the pumpkins.
Imagine he's just holding onto the stem on
how
top
do you
of
think,
the pumpkin.
How do you think people can detect Hydra's boats?
They're pumpkins.
You can't detect pumpkins.
Pumpkins are massive gourds.
I had a friend who grew those kinds of pumpkins, the gigantic pumpkins. It's scary how fast they grow. You can almost see the stems going faster. It's,
Me and my neighbor once, when I was really young, we grew a pumpkin and we entered in a competition for the biggest pumpkin. It was so sad. I won like 22nd place. But I was so proud of my pumpkin.
So I have a question that's not related to pumpkins.
Isn't the Pacific Ocean like cold?
Well, water's cold.
So it's not
oceans
hot.
Are cold.
But maps. I love maps.
Yeah,
funny story. Maps are the reason why I'm with my boyfriend right now.
The whole reason.
The only reason.
Did X mark the spot?
Lightmaster.
No, he's too short.
That's kind of
5'11".
That's kind of egg shape, right? The Spider-Man villain was Edward Lansky, the Vice Chancellor of Empire State University, where Peter Parker was then a student. To prevent budget cuts.
realistic.
This is an evil university president. So some of us here have worked at universities, so I think we can relate.
Yes, he's an evil realist.
To prevent budget cuts, he designed a suit capable of harnessing the power of light, and with other villains, kidnapped New York City officials. Spider-Man short-circuited the suit, but this accidentally turned Lightmaster into a being of unstable light energy, and he would start to dissipate if he wasn't constantly surrounded with light. He tried to get revenge, but had so many lights on in his warehouse trapped that he caused a blackout, and in the darkness was shunted to what he called the light dimension, from which he could only return through very bright light sources, like Dazzler's powers, for example. He eventually found a way to make himself human again. The suit allows him to fly, create blinding light, as well as objects of solid light, like fists and cages, or just a fire blast of photonic energy, as he does in the accompanying picture. He likes to work with other villains or underlings to soften up his enemies before moving in for the kill. He's unstable, often irrational, and makes stupid mistakes in what has become a quest for revenge.
So he's really like that ripped. It's not like I will control the light source around me to look really buff.
Like, look at that butt, though.
I know. Oh, yeah. I saw that butt.
It could be, like, Nerf in the suit.
I have a friend.
Stuffed suit.
I have a friend who's very afraid of the dark, and who was very afraid of the dark when we were kids. So when we'd have sleepovers, we had all the lights on at night.
Like, and all of it?
Yeah, like, all of the lights. Like, full lights. Not night lights. Like, full lights. And it was the worst, and I feel like if we would date, we would have to leave the lights on at night, and that just doesn't sound like a fun time. I'm over it.
Does he, like, would the electricity bill be really high, or does, like, he handle it?
He just needs to live in a very bright city. Like, he can't live in the countryside.
He's in Vegas. With lots of windows.
New York.
Why didn't he just, like, invent solar panels so he could cut the bills for the university?
This was in the 80s.
This is a common supervillain genius problem. Why does Lex Luthor rob a bank? With technology that if he just, like, got the patent on, he would have made billions.
Yeah.
This is a common thing. That's why we say he's unstable and irrational.
He cares a lot about his job. Like, that's a lot of commitment for, like, your job. I don't know, man.
Well, I don't know if it was commitment as much as stupidity. And then he's stuck in it.
No, he was just staring at an Excel spreadsheet and then was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm making a suit.
It's like, you're gonna get budget cuts. Even if you do this, you're gonna get budget cuts. Like, that's part of life. People cut budgets. Like, this is like such a temporary solution to a long-term problem.
And it's like the city budget.
Yeah, it's gonna city fluctuate. Officials.
It's not even like federal or anything, or provincial or state, I mean.
Wait, what was his master plan? Build a suit, sell the suit?
Build a suit.
Profit.
Kidnap city officials.
Yes, kidnap officials.
To make sure they don't, to blackmail or to ransom them.
Into not cutting the budget of the university.
That is a very short term.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking.
Because city officials change.
Yes, we have to do it every year.
Yeah. And also, like, wouldn't they get suspicious? They're like, who keeps blackmailing us to not change the university budget?
Yes, I wonder.
Could it be Vice Chancellor Lansky?
Never. Vice Chancellor Lansky sounds like the bad guy in one of those 80s movies. Like yes. The teen movies where it's like, Vice Chancellor Lansky? Bueller!
I just want to say that I hate the suit.
I understand. I actually kind of like the suit.
What I don't like is like the ray effect.
I love that.
I don't like it, especially on the butt. I don't know why it's really bothering me. It looks like a pumpkin. That's why it's bothering me.
I feel like if you look at the front, it kind of looks like, you know those chairs that like
light,
flat, but then they're like stretchy, so that when you sit in it, it kind of goes deep.
Yeah,
it's just a bunch of cords. That's what it looks like to me.
The suit for me has a lot of potential, but it did not end well.
So I like everything from the neck down.
Yeah, the face.
In the front. The face is not well.
But how come his eyes are so low? Is my question.
It looks like I think it's not
high forehead.
I think it's because of the circle around. Like it looks like an alien head. I think the circle makes you have different proportions.
Because, like, if we could see his hair, it probably wouldn't even look that weird. Yeah.
Have you considered the fact it might be not eyes, but nostrils?
Oh!
Zabel, have you?
Oh, no!
That's big-ass nostrils.
There's not enough monsters with, like, eyeballs in the nostrils.
I find, like, the effect in the front is very interesting. It does not translate to the back. No. That just looks like an old wrestling suit.
Yeah.
But the front, I kind of get it. Like, it doesn't look like just plain material to me. The head looks like a craft project.
I think it had more shadowing.
You know what it kind of looks like? You know when you're a kid and you have to do, like, a lion mask and it's just, like, a paper plate?
Yeah.
A paper plate that has, like, the ripples all around it?
Yes. 100%. I do see it. His eyes are a little too Spider-Man for me.
They're nostrils, Isabel.
Nostrils spider are a little nostrils. Too
spider nostrils.
But I think spiders known for their smelling.
Aren't they?
Shouldn't it be light PhD? Maybe light PhD instead of light master.
You're right.
Well, now I'm impressed.
He signs all his emails that way so that you know that he has a PhD.
God.
So you can really narrow down who this dude is.
He really has a bony thumb.
I like those hands, though. The way they are, they look like powerful hands that know what they're doing.
I like strong forearms.
And maybe he's
going to
like touch anyway.
Oh! Yes, but I don't want to sleep with someone who's as fast as light.
Ayo!
Is Lightmaster hot or not?
I don't hate it.
No, probably one of the hotter ones we've seen today. It's been a bit weird today.
This episode has been
I like this design.
I prefer Spider-Man villains. They've always got that, like, rooted in reality element. Mm-hmm. And that I find that fun.
But it always feels weird to me because it's like, you are fighting a child.
At this point, he's a university student.
But they don't know that.
No, they don't. They don't know who Spider-Man is.
Because this is the take on... It's a Buffy. The principal is evil. The vice chancellor of his own university is evil.
But that doesn't make it okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's... And I love Spider-Man, but that's always a thought I have when I see villains for him. It's just like, do you realize that you're fighting like a 20-year-old?
I fight with 20-year-olds all the time.
I just walk up to people. I'm like, how old are you? 21? Smash!
No, I use words.
Knockout.
Yeah.
I think even though he looks like pumpkin butt, I still like him.
So what I couldn't get past, though, is the stupidity of his plans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, you're an idiot. That I can't date you.
But I like the creativity of putting, like, a bureaucrat. I like that. And I guess that's a Spider-Man thing, right? Because it's like journalism and people working in offices.
What is he studying in university, Spider-Man?
Physics.
Spiders.
Science.
Biology.
In spiders.
I say physics. I think it was physics, but it's science.
Spider physics.
It must be interesting studying physics when you don't abide by them.
Yeah.
He does, though.
But, like, his body physics are so bizarre.
That's biology. That's not physics.
Well, I know, but, like,
you know? But he can climb walls.
That's what I mean. Like,
yeah, but that's because he has sticky things on his... It's not because gravity doesn't apply to him.
I'm just saying it must be a bit weird when you're like, ha-ha, I don't have to do that shit. Like, you know, like...
He's calculating angles from, like, a roof to the other roof and swinging.
He's but the laws of physics
okay,
don't apply
fine,
to him.
Okay, fine, fine,
fine. Physics just... is my favorite science.
Oh, it's my least favorite. I absolutely hate
chemistry and biology. I love
biology
physics.
Is the only one that's good.
Right. I agree.
Hot take.
Only good science.
I enjoy chemistry.
Chemistry isn't even a real science. It's molecular physics.
Which
why did they call it chemistry?
Biology is better.
So I am very angry at chemistry and the grades that I got in that course.
Chemistry and physics have a lot of math.
Yeah, and I don't want to do that shit.
But chemistry is like potion making.
Yeah, no, it's not.
That's what I wish it was.
Yeah.
That's the thing, it's like, I like chemistry, but I like how my dad shows me chemistry, as in, like, look, we can create a rocket out of Rice Krispies.
That's potion making.
That's potion
alchemy.
That's how my dad shows me.
That's my favorite science, alchemy.
No, physics is definitely the best.
Thank you.
Have you considered...
And quantum physics.
...working as an administrator at a university?
You never know, budgets could be cut.
I mean...
And you know what?
I
they will.
I work for the government.
Budgets will
be
cut. Yeah.
That's actually the slogan.
It's my email signature.
Art credits: The Leader by Sal Buscema, Legion by Bill Sienkiewicz, Lemuria by Elliot R. Brown, Lightmaster by Rudy Nebres.
For years, the Fire and Water Podcast Network has found its joy talking about comics. From Aquaman and Firestorm to Batman and Plastic Man, from giant treasuries to pocket-sized digests, from massive miniseries events to singular one-shot adventures, from romance to horror to whatever the hell Ohamu or not is. In the last year, they've begun to carve a path through their favorite television shows, such as MASH, Cheers, and Justice League Unlimited, and there's no sign of them stopping. What medium will Fire and Water conquer next? Introducing Fire and Water Records, the music anthology podcast from the Fire and Water Network. Find your joy in all new ways as members of the Fire and Water Network and their friends discuss favorite songs, albums, concerts, and artists.
Hang on, I've been doing a music show for 2 years.
Featuring Record Revolution.
Join the Brothers Daily as we catalog the essential years that shaped popular music and our own lives.
A Very Daily Christmas.
An annual celebration of our favorite holiday tracks.
And Pod Dylan.
No, not Pod Dylan. We discussed this. That's staying on its own feed.
Not Pod Dylan, but everything else I said. Plus, so much more. Fire and Water Records, a proud part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Female bag! Comments on episode 61, Kraven, the Kree, Crow, Curse, and the Lava Men.
Oh, okay.
So on Kraven, Magda W. from Saskatchewan says, I think Kraven's whole hunter shtick had a lot to do with the original story being written in 1964. The great white hunter trope was still a thing back then, so the idea of Kraven being a hero to the public would have been believable. If I remember right, Kraven's chest device was a ray of some kind. Electrical, maybe? So they say nerve gas in the entry, but it's possible they changed it over time to make it make more sense. That paralyzed Spider-Man's muscles so he couldn't move. Kraven activated it by squeezing his arms against the sides of his chest, kind of like the chicken dance Shotgun mentioned. And Spidey ultimately beat him by ripping out the wires in the device. I remember that shot.
Shot?
Panel.
Panel.
Mike Danis says, once again, the ladies shatter my perception of how badass a character is. I always thought Kraven was an amazing villain because he had no powers. It was all will, skill, and strength. Now, all I can see is his mismatched outfit, and I think, why did he leave the house like that? It's like when a child decides to dress themselves for the first time.
Oh my god, it so is.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a huge fan of Kraven's Last Hunt storyline. I bought those comics on the spinner racks, and it made me want to go from reading comics to collecting comics. Ooh. I had no idea about James DeMatteis' origin for using Kraven, so thanks for the background origin info. It's all part of the service. Chris Franklin says, during the Raimi cycle of the Spider-Man films, I fan-wrote in my head a story outline for Spider-Man 3 where Dr. Kurt Connors, who had appeared in the series, finally became the Lizard. News of this strange lizard man stalking the street and sewers of New York City attracts the attention of reality TV star Kraven, who is basically a deadly version of the Crocodile Hunter. He starts chasing after the Lizard, and Spidey has to try and save his friend and professor, Kurt Connors. You get two villains, but no forced team-ups. But Kraven would work out great now as well, chasing the exposed Tom Holland Peter Parker version. Time Priest says, amazingly, after he died, Kraven's story turned into a Superman family deal with tons of related characters. A witch doctor mistress, Calypso, a son, the Grim Hunter, Chameleon revealed as Kraven's half-brother, another son, Kraven 2. Kraven 2 then kills Calypso, daughter, Anna, who becomes Kraven 3, legit wife Sasha, the whole clan wipes each other out, resurrecting Kraven 1. Kraven creates a bunch of clones, and one kills all the rest, and then that clone is tricked into killing the original Kraven, leaving just Cloven.
Cloven Kraven. Shotgun's not okay.
I checked out at some point.
This is so much!
This happened?
In a week.
And I guess he's the one who, that Cloven must be the one that shows up in Unbeatable Squirrel Girl in a sweet Kravan, which everybody in the comments recommended, so.
Nice.
I do recommend Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Wow. Now that's a plot.
That's crazy.
It happened in a week or a
weekend? It happened in 25 years? Over 25
lame.
Years? 20 years?
Put it in a week, that's fine.
Well, for Spider-Man, it was like a week. For us, it's like 25 years.
Okay.
I mean, he was 16 in the 1960s, and he's like 24 now or something. The Kree. Mike Dana says, he quotes you, if they are going to murder me, they better be hot. They don't look like they would make me a slave. He says, I don't believe I have to say this, but I think you can have higher standards for a date.
Can we, though?
I don't know. You tell me. Brian Linton says, from Srohim's monocle to Bundial's headscarf to Macron's cool specs, the Kree men appear to be masters of fashionable head accessories. We Terran males probably learn a thing or two from them. I'm thinking we need a Kree Eye on the Earth Guy TV series.
Please.
I'd watch that.
Crow. Chris Franklin says, I know the Eternals are coming out with their own film eventually when the world resembles some semblance of order, maybe. But I kind of feel like that series, Eternals versus Deviants, has now become like Who's Who's the Omega Men or Forever People for this show. There's nothing you can do about it. They just seem to be cropping up everywhere. And he means that they're not really that important to the Marvel Universe for a long time. But they each get their entries. We get a lot of Eternals, a lot of Deviants. It's true. Time Priest, taking a cue from one of my sound bites, Crow, says, while he sings, I wonder how he heats or breathes and other science facts. Just repeat to yourself, it's just comics. I really should relax. It's Hovatmu or not, 3,000.
Love it.
We understand each other. So on Curse, Thor expert Gene Hendricks says, the character of Curse, or Algrim the Strong, isn't really a Norse personage, but he is a member of the Norse race, the Svartalfar, The Svartalfar. The Svartalfar. The Svartalfar.
Svartalfar. Svartalfar.
Or dark elves, as opposed to the Alfar, or light elves, who are ruled over by Frey. They really only appear in the prose Edda, so a lot of people combine them with the dwarves, but Marvel treats them like their own race, and you can thank Walt Simonson for that. I also think of the dark elves and dwarves as separate races. But I can see the argument that they are one and the same. The look, on the other hand, is what happens when Walt is allowed to go nuts. He's right up there with Kirby as far as wild ideas go. Siskoid was right that Thor was wearing a mask because he was scarred by Hela a little while before this. Eventually, he grew a beard to cover it. But until then, he used the piece of his own cape to hide his face. Anyway, if and when we ever get to the Thor entry, it's at the time when he has a beard. So it's more like the movie one. Time Priest chides me for not mentioning that the first heroes he fought in this form were Power Pack, a team of children. Mm. So when he becomes Nanny for the Asgard Pack, there's some irony.
I like that.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Chris Franklin says, those colors, candy corn of evil.
Oh, wow. That's true.
Yep.
On the Lava Men, Brian Linton says, I think these people have been misnamed. Lava is not molten rock. But their entry states that their skin has a rock-like consistency. Therefore, I make a motion that their name be changed to the Igneous Men.
Okay, I like second.
I like that.
The Igneous.
All right, we'll vote.
It's good.
Meow.
We'll send that. Right. We'll send that document to
Hot Monot carries the motion. And says, for sure, someone would have said how much they lava the look of them. They do look more like skinned humans than rocky humanoids. My guess is that their look is more akin to Block from the Legion, especially in the later Baxter series where he had tiny volcanoes on his body.
What?
But, yeah, he's kind of like broke out with rock acne.
Yeah, I feel like it's a metaphor on acne. Mm.
And despite
Rockne? No, Rockne?
Rockne.
Rockne.
And despite Andrew's participation here, it's Time Priest who wins the pun award. He says, if they can't find lava women, they must be looking for lava in all the wrong places. Probably still carrying a torch for them.
No!
Terrible.
Love it.
Before we go, we have to mention the Fire and Water Podcast Network Patreon page at patreon.com/FWPodcast. If you like our content, please think about making a one-time or monthly donation, the amount of which will allow you to unlock rewards, like getting on our hot list and getting the girls to throw a custom compliment at you this month. Because of Lightmaster, who was the one hot, really. All compliments will be light-based. Let's go around the table. So, Ben, you get your hand up.
No, I'm stretching. Do not pay me first.
I mean, have you never been called in class because you were stretching, but the teacher decided you were raising your hand? Has it ever happened to you?
No, I never stretched.
You never stretched in class?
This is the first time I've stretched.
So unflexible.
It's yielded bad results, so I'm not intending to do it again.
Well, do you have your light-based compliment in mind?
No, but sure.
You get Monsieur Dick?
I'm going to go with fireworks. Because when Emily sees him, she sees fireworks.
That's sweet.
That is true.
All right. Shotgun?
Yes.
Doing for Elise Amel.
You know what? Elise is that she is like the matante in lots of groups. So I feel like she's very comforting. Like when you come to your house and the lights are on and you know that someone is cooking supper and also that comforting light.
Right.
So, the light is always on. In my house.
Oh. Matinante, for people who are listening to this, or like English speakers, matinante is auntie.
Auntie, yeah.
Auntie Elise.
Yeah, sure.
Auntie Elise.
Yes.
You get Anne-Marie Bernier.
Anne-Marie Bernier is a beacon of light in our otherwise dark and gloomy existence.
I was going to say it's police siren.
Like a strobe.
Yeah, I was gonna say like the light. You know when the light goes out during a show because it was going to be like the big reveal of the band or something, and then
okay, really aggressive lights. Imagine a lighthouse, but instead of like a beam of light, it's like a siren.
Poor Anne-Marie, we love her.
We do.
José,
Anna.
Show some love to Jean Hendricks.
Bright as lightning.
Yeah,
I mean, that works for the Thor worshipper.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Gotham Shorin. For you, Nat.
I'm gonna go with a black light because you make things glow even in the darkness.
Oh, that's really nice.
I thought about like that.
Like white underwear under a black shirt.
or like when you accidentally go to a bowling alley and it's a black light thing and then you realize how much lint is on your clothes.
I love the story where you accidentally go to a bowling alley. Because I know for me, anytime I've gone to a bowling alley, it was an accident.
So we can rebaptize him Dr. UV, Man of Neurology.
Yes.
And Amelie, you get Mike Danis.
I find that getting Ohatmu comments is very comforting because I know that people are listening. So I'm going to go with the warm golden hour light that comes into your living room just in the evening. And you're having like a cup of tea after dinner and just kind of getting cozy for the night on a Sunday evening.
Except I go for wine instead.
Yeah. Tea. Yeah, tea or wine, whatever.
Just water. Also, it's great photo light.
Yeah.
So that's it for us. We'll be back next month. Say goodbye, guys.
Bye. We love you.
Well, she does.
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not. Let's room tone this bitch. That was sexist, I'm sorry. Let's room tone this beast. Huh? Neutral.
Hannah Cook, respiratory therapist.
it's a room tone.
I'm sorry.
Follow the leader, the leader, the leader. Wherever they may go, they go, they go.